What is it that creates a loyalty within us towards something? Is it because we have good feelings towards it? Like that old show that unfortunately probably half of us in here aren't familiar with, Cheers, where the tagline was, you walk in and it's a place where everybody knows your name. Is it because we believe that this organization or whatever is worthwhile? For example, if you've ever went down to Minneapolis and worked with Mary Jo Copeland at Sharing and Caring Hands, you walk away and you feel so good about yourself because you know that you're yoked up with something that is so powerful, so beautiful, and changing people's lives? Or is it because that we have a connection with others? For example, friends from the past, where we went to high school with them, or we played sports with them, or maybe we worked with them, and so we're loyal to them, we stick with them. Or even family, where we're yoked because of genes, and you just gotta be there no matter what. These are typical things that bind us to something. Good feelings towards it, believing that it is worthwhile, and having a connection to it. So what begins to happen when these things that bind us to something begin to fade away? We leave, right? Life is too short to stay with something that is not worthwhile. And let's face it, in our day, modern age of technology and easy travel, there are a ton of options out there. Rarely are we ever stuck and forced to remain somewhere or with something that we don't want to be with. In our gospel today, we see this reality of remaining or leaving unfold in a very dramatic way. Christ has, up to this point in the gospel, John chapter 6, gathered together an incredibly large group of people. They are connected to him because they feel good when they are around Jesus. They have received as much bread and fish as they could eat, and they're completely physically happy. They feel that they may have found the long-awaited Messiah, and they don't want to miss him. And let's be honest, it would have been fun to be a part of something new and exciting. Almost like, don't miss this new Jesus fad that's sweeping the land. So really, up until today's gospel, Jesus just couldn't lose, and everyone wanted to be a part of it. But a line is drawn in the sand in today's gospel, and it surrounds one teaching of Christ. Not a moral teaching, nor a discipleship teaching, but simply the need to believe that Jesus is going to give us his body and blood to eat. And for the Jews who have been following him up to this point, this is their point of departure. And so the gospel says, as a result of this teaching on the Eucharist, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. See, the game changer was the Eucharist. Just think about this. Of all the teachings that Jesus was saying, the thing that made them leave was his teaching on the Eucharist. And sadly, the gospel states that only 12 disciples were left, the apostles. And notice how Jesus doesn't beg them to say, trying to say to them, guys, I think you misunderstood. He simply turns to them and says, do you also want to leave? What beautiful words. Beautiful words. Pure, free choice. No guilt, no fear, no shame. Just a question. Do you also want to leave? See, this is the ultimate invitation. Jesus is not trying to stir up some shallow connection to him based on feelings, or if they think that they're on the winning team, or because they believe that we have so much life experience, we just have to stay. He simply asks them if they would like to leave and gives them permission to walk away if they so desire. What incredible power, both from the giver, Jesus, as well as the extended invitation to the disciples. There is so much freedom. But why? Because this is how God works in this world. He does not force us into worship and relationship through fear or a sense of duty or guilt. He invites us into relationship and discipleship through conviction. Conviction. 2 weeks ago, I had the amazing opportunity to be with 75 of our youth at our summer Camp Veritas in the middle of nowhere in Irene, South Dakota. During the last session that I had with the kids, we did about an hour and a half question and answers. And the kids asked some amazing questions. One younger girl, maybe about 12 years old, raised her hand and with great simplicity and honesty simply said, "Father, how do we know if God is speaking to us?" A question that I'm sure many of us have had in our life. And to be honest, I was shocked by the answer that I gave to this girl. Just one brief phrase came out of my mouth. God's voice always comes with conviction. It was an answer that I believe was given at that time by the Holy Spirit, and it is an answer that I have meditated on a lot over these difficult days in the Catholic Church. Because at the end of the day, the only reason any of us stay yoked up to something, in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, sound familiar, is because of a conviction that there is something that is greater than any hardship that exists. It is not accidental that the gospel passage that we have today is yoked up with our first reading from Joshua, where he asks the people to boldly commit, "Whom will you serve?" along with his own powerful testimony, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And then this reading is paired with the second reading, St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where he speaks about Christ being yoked up to the bride of Christ, the church. Yes, the church, that seemingly broken and disfigured thing, is something that Christ has committed to in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health. So the question that Christ posed to his original disciples is the same question that he poses to us in these difficult days. Do you also want to leave? And our answer must be based upon a conviction that there is something in the church that makes us unable to leave, no matter the grossness that we see. And it surrounds St. Peter's response to Jesus in the gospel. "Master, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." Indeed, if the Eucharist is the body and blood of Jesus, God Himself, to whom else shall we go? This time in the history of our church, it is a purification of the structure and the bureaucracy of the church, but it is also a purification for our reason for being Catholic. If we are Catholic because the church is beautiful, with perfect members and no fault, then the odds of us falling away and leaving during times of scandal are extremely high. But if we are members of the church because of a conviction that Jesus is present in our midst, then we have nowhere else to go when the storms of destruction press on her. I have found myself these days, for the first time in almost 8 years of priesthood, kneeling before the crucifix in my room for long periods of time, and simply repeating over and over as I look at the cross, "Lord, I love you and want you alone." For as these scandals have been brought to light, I have had to purify myself in why I am a servant of the church. And I can most assuredly promise you it is not because of the leadership, nor is it because I feel cool to identify myself as Catholic. In fact, sometimes when I'm walking out in public with my collar, it is embarrassing. But it is solely because I believe and am convinced that Jesus is here. And there is nowhere else in this world that I can go to get as close to him as I can at this altar through the consecration of the Eucharist. My dear brothers and sisters, we are at a very important crossroad, not only in the history of the church, but in our own history, personal history of discipleship. We are asked to also enter into the purifying flames and to look at the question, why are we Catholic? And at the end of the day, it can only be because of one reason. Jesus is here and present in the Eucharist. As Jesus is now asking us during this very difficult time the question that he asked his disciples, "Do you also want to leave?"